Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The Labor Department has just released its report on consumer prices in May. They went up 0.6%, not as big an increase as the one in April when they rose 0.8%. The main reason for the smaller increase was that food prices went up more slowly. Even so, the rise is likely to continue at least through the end of June. Energy prices are expected to go up, too, under the impact of legislation now pending on Capitol Hill, and Nelson Benton has the latest on what may be done to cushion the effect.
After delaying the issue twice, congressional tax writers plan today to tackle the question of how to reimburse consumers for higher energy prices resulting from taxes on crude oil proposed by the Carter administration. The House Ways and Means Committee last week approved the crude oil tax, which would eventually price domestic oil at the world price and would boost gasoline prices 7 to 8 cents a gallon in about 3 years. But the committee deferred a decision on how to rebate increased energy costs to consumers. The administration has proposed a straight per capita rebate, but the committee has considered several other methods. Yesterday, the committee adopted, after some modifications, the administration's plans for tax breaks to companies that invest in equipment for switching from oil and natural gas to coal. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
At the rate of about 1 mile per hour, oil is now moving south through the Trans-Alaska pipeline. And as we hear from Terry Drinkwater in Anchorage, its leisurely progress is marked by a sound vaguely reminiscent of Tapakata.
As the technicians walk the line this morning, this is the sound they are hearing from the pipe.
There you go.
The banging comes from what oil men call the pig, a plastic and steel cone which proceeds the oil down the route. The oil pressure behind it is gradually increasing today. So far, along the route, no major technical problems have been encountered. But for Alaskans, there may be a financial problem. Less revenue to the state than anticipated because of the rate the oil companies want to pay for use of the pipe. Governor Jay Hammond is mad.
I think we would take a horrendous financial bloodbath if they were successful in having the ICC approve those rates. They're far higher. For every penny added to that tariff, we lose $1 million a year.
The Justice Department agrees with the governor and today will be pressing its case in Washington. The oil men say they need the high rates to pay for the pipeline, where the oil is at long last flowing. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Anchorage.
William Egan, who was Alaska's first governor, called the opening of the pipeline a great moment for America, the start of development of other upland and offshore resources in a planned way. Another one-time governor, former Secretary of the Interior Walter Hickel, described the pipeline as a perfect example of how to make men's needs and nature compatible. Environmentalists take a different view. One of them, a leader of the unsuccessful court fight to prevent construction, has already called the pipeline an environmental disaster.
You don't have to stretch your imagination to stretch gas mileage in a Datsun. Highway or city, you'll see Datsuns passing gas pumps left and right. Datsun saves. But then you know that. So what else is new besides great gas mileage? The Datsuns that come with it. For one, the new Datsun B210 Plus. It's EPA rated at 46 miles per gallon highway, 30 city. And even though EPA figures are estimates and your mileage could vary, keep in mind that the B210 Plus hatchback not only exceeds 1978 federal requirements, but all the way through 1985. What's new? Datsun's well-equipped new B210 Plus. The car that lets you save a bundle on gas in a gassy-looking car. What's new is what's at your Datsun dealer now.
The new Datsun B210 Plus, great gas mileage and these pluses, a 5-speed, steel-belted radio, sporty stripes. See how Datsun saves in all kinds of ways.
The puzzle remains unsolved this morning. Still no clue to the whereabouts of Idi Amin. Roger Mann reports from Nairobi, Kenya.
Western diplomats in Kampala agree that the Ugandan capital is calm and business is going on as normal. But their theories on President Idi Amin's mysterious disappearance differ. According to soldiers at Field Marshal Amin's command post, they have been trying to find their leader since Friday. The diplomats confirm that President Amin has not been seen since then and that there was a shooting incident on Saturday morning, but they believe Amin may be deliberately hiding. One diplomatic theory is that President Amin was wounded on Saturday morning and he is someplace in Uganda receiving medical attention. Another is that he was wounded and is now in Libya recuperating. A third diplomatic theory is that Amin was not hurt at all, but is stealthily waiting to see who will try to seize power from him and is preparing to pounce. But nobody claims to know the whereabouts of the unpredictable dictator, and nobody is sure if he is dead or alive. Roger Mann for CBS News, Nairobi.
The new prime minister took over from the old prime minister today in Israel as a new right-wing government came to power. Bruno Wassertile watched the scene at the prime minister's office in Jerusalem.
Yitzhak Rabin has just turned over the reins of government to Israel's new premier, Menachem Begin. In this large reception room, the two men went down a line of ministry employees, Begin shaking hands and saying hello, Rabin shaking hands and saying goodbye. Rabin was cordial, even friendly to Begin, and wished his government much success. The success of the government, Rabin said, is the success of the people and the nation. Later, the two men raised glasses of wine in a toast, and Begin said, "This is to the people of Israel and to freedom." This is Bruno Wassertile for CBS News at the Prime Minister's office in Jerusalem.
Soon afterward, Begin announced that he had received an invitation from President Carter to hold talks in Washington July 18th, and he has accepted. Begin called the invitation warm and friendly. His first official act will be to grant asylum to 66 Vietnamese refugees rescued last week by an Israeli freighter in the South China Sea. Several countries have refused to take the refugees, whose plight, Begin said, reminded him of unsuccessful attempts by Jews to escape from Nazi Germany. "We remember that tragedy of our people," he said, "and therefore we understand the bitter plight of the refugees." Begin also appealed for negotiations with the Arabs on peace in the Middle East. "Let us," he said, "put an end to the hateful bloodshed."
Zap! That was the new fuel-injected Datsun 280Z. A car engineered to endure what the world dishes out. An even better Z than those that have captured 7 SCCA racing championships. Zap! This Datsun 280Z is better because both its 2 and 4 passenger versions offer a new 5-speed transmission option, new functional hood louvers, mag-type wheel covers, and 15 other thoughtful Datsun refinements in handling and feel. Zap! That was America's most wanted sports car, the fuel-injected Datsun 280Z. Priced within reach, engineered to endure, flat out perfected. Zap!
Take a test drive soon at your nearby Datsun dealer. Suddenly it'll dawn on you, Datsun saves in all kinds of ways.
Did President Carter's daughter, Amy, early this year, write an encouraging letter to the son of an imprisoned Soviet dissident doctor? Reports to that effect have been denied by the White House. But Peter Kalischer in Paris reports a different answer.
"Yes," says August Stern, son of Dr. Michael Stern, who was later freed to emigrate. "Father and son are in Paris to fight for dissident rights during Soviet Chief Brezhnev's official visit. Stern showed me the letter, postmarked Plains, Georgia, January 7, 1977, addressed to him in Paris. Typewritten on white notepaper with an inch-high Amy Carter letterhead, dated December 28, 1976, it reads, "Dear Mr. Stern, thank you so much for your kind letter, and I do appreciate you sharing your feelings and your book with me. I do not read French yet, but I am sure that I will enjoy when I do learn to speak the language. I have turned your letter over to my father's staff. Thanks again for your kindness. Sincerely, Amy." Signed in ink over a typed Amy Carter. Under that, the letters AC/JW, the JW evidently the initials of the typist. I asked Stern why he had written Amy and not the president. He replied, "Psychology says out of the mouth of a child is coming the truth." Peter Kalischer, CBS News, Paris.
CBS News correspondent Bernard Redmond, covering the Paris talks of French President Giscard d'Estaing and Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev, reports that they are trying to iron out their differences on détente and disarmament. Redmond notes that Brezhnev's relations with the United States are in trouble, and he wants to balance this by improving his ties with France. Giscard, for his part, told Brezhnev this morning that human rights are the cornerstone of détente.
Wells Fargo Bank offers its biggest reward ever for people who are serious about saving money. Because now you can have a Wells Fargo reward account with a $2,000 balance in any Wells Fargo savings plan, passbook or certificate. And you earn the highest interest a bank is allowed to pay on both regular passbook savings and certificates of deposit. Either way, you get all the benefits of the reward account. No charge checking, all the personalized checks and traveler's checks you need with no service charge. A $6 safe deposit box and personal service from a Wells Fargo personal banker. So come into Wells Fargo today and ask for your own personal banker to help you open your reward account. The Wells Fargo Reward. Claim yours today at the Wells Fargo office near you. Member FDIC.
The ups and downs of the American economy are getting agonized attention these days in agricultural regions of Minnesota. Rich Holter of station WCCO in Minneapolis tells us about it.
The boom or bust economy that farmers complain so bitterly about is strikingly evident in Minnesota this year. In 1976, crop losses due to drought cost Minnesota farmers an estimated $1.5 billion. Less than 12 months later, the farmers are looking at possible bumper crops of corn, soybeans, and feed grains. The difference, of course, has been the rains, with some of the hardest-hit drought areas now up to 5 inches above normal in spring rainfall. 2 to 4 inches of rain in the past week have pushed the Minnesota corn crop to what is termed excessive growth, some fields standing 30 inches high, when the seasonal normal is 11 inches. The soybean crop is listed in good condition, although some yellowing is reported due to an excess of moisture. Unlike 1976, this year promises a good yield for Minnesota farmers, and their only concern in 1977 appears to be what kind of price this boom will bring in the marketplace. Rich Holter for CBS News, Minneapolis.
2 days ago, the New York Times published a report that the United States had bugged the office of South Korean President Park Chung-hee in 1975. This morning, Park's foreign minister called in American Ambassador Richard Snyder and asked for an explanation. Korean officials say Snyder told the foreign minister that the Times report was erroneous and expressed his regret. The South Korean ambassador to the United States has been ordered to pursue the matter in Washington.